Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
All right.
Hopefully you didn't delete the first part of the episode.
No, I did not. So we're back.
That would have been embarrassing.
That's embarrassing. So we are, this is the second half, so this will run on the weekend. The reason I wanted to do one big podcast is because, like, oh, we could talk about all the stuff on this one, and then it's like, I'm going to beat you up a week later, and then we're going to be like, so how about Star Trek? So you like when they talk about the Makos in Star Trek Beyond? You like that?
I did. I enjoyed it.
James is like, God damn it, again with Star Trek. So getting back with more Gen Con stuff. So people left me some questions. So Anthony, let's go back. Anthony Carroll asked a bunch of questions. His first one was, what do you think of the new FFG tabletop game preview? Yeah. If they can grab even a chunk of the X-Wing buyers via use of similar dice movement templates, it should do well. But the minis...
I don't think the X-Wing buyer... I think there's a significant port... Just me personally, I believe there is a significant portion of X-Wing players who are not miniatures gamers.
Yeah.
And I think it's all... like, it's just like the HeroClix guys. Like,
my friend Chris is not a gamer at all, but he's obsessed with Star Wars.
Yeah. There you go. That is the same thing for HeroClix. I know, like, there's a couple guys who are like he's never played a game in his life, and he's got like 12,000 HeroClix figures
because he just likes superheroes.
He plays HeroClix, obviously.
Oh, okay.
But like any other game, he's like, no, he's like, games are stupid.
Well, and he says the minis they show look quite cartoony and don't really work for me. I think that's the hard part is that Fantasy Flight's doing this based off the Rune Wars property that they own.
I think that makes sense. I actually talked
about
why
this. Why not? It's their fantasy world.
Also, they don't have to pay anybody's licensing fees at all.
Yeah.
No likeness rights, no fees.
I mean, that's what they did with Battle Lore.
Right. And the cartoon aesthetic is popular.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually a popular design choice.
It looks a lot like Pathfinder. It looks a lot like World of Warcraft, a lot like what D&D 5th Edition is doing.
Right.
So I could see it working. I mean, part of the X-Wing popularity is the fact that it's Star Wars.
Right. It's a Star Wars spaceship game that's never really existed before.
Yeah, and people are super excited about it. What's going to sell this game is if they sell it in big box stores. That's what's going to sell this game. If this game is released inside of a game store, it probably will not do well. The other big problem with Fantasy Flight that I've always had is that Fantasy Flight never fucking supports their games. They have like
I think they do, but there's just too many games.
Well, I mean, okay, so card games. They all of their LCG games they do fairly well with. I mean, because they
all have tournaments. Every LCG right now and minis game they produce right now has tournament kits for every quarter.
Yeah, the X-Wing,
which is at like all the support you can really do for a game.
X-Wing, Armada, and Rebel Assault all have decent support. Anything else that they do does not have good support.
Well, because most of it's board games. You don't really support a board game. Release it and call it a day.
I mean, like, even Battle Lore.
Well, it's because Battle Lore is a failure.
Yeah. Like, they got the license for for Game of Thrones. They still have it. They released...
that game also was a failure.
Well they do the Battle Lore game. They release a couple expansions, and then that's it. They don't do anything else after that.
It didn't take off.
Yeah, because they never supported it.
I mean, that's a chicken egg situation, and someone who works on my side is the support is necessary when the player base demands it, and that's how it works. Like a perfect example is Force of Will. Back a year hence, when Force of Will was absolutely insane, people were screaming to get organized play. People were like, get fucking tournaments. Like people were losing their minds for it because the game will start its route to success without any support. The key is being ready to provide the support when it's requested. So if Battle Lore took off and a lot of people were playing it, they would have been like, we're going to do tournament kits for it. You know, that's what they say. Every one of their LCGs, like the 40K one is still relatively new and they're doing a tournament kit for it every quarter.
And also, I should say that Descent is fairly well supported as well.
Also, Battle Lore is technically... Descent just has a lot of releases. Like, as far as organized play, there's no really support for Descent. But I think it's because they classified Battle Lore as a board game. Like, yeah, they just like, this is a game people are going to buy and put on their like board game shelves. Like, they didn't consider it a,
I mean, it's a good game,
a meet up and play
but
game,
they also
I guess.
Have, they also have to pay the licensing for the, no, they bought Battle Lore. They bought the whole Battle Lore.
They bought it from Days of Wonder.
Yeah. They bought that whole thing. So yeah, I mean, the main thing is if they get this game into the, if they get this game into big box stores, I think it can do fairly well. It's going to be tough. I don't know.
We'll see what the pre-orders look like. I mean, there's a lot that needs to go right for it. It's a harder thing to get into, like, but it is, you know, there is no big regimented minis game right now.
Yeah.
Like, they're like,
and this
Kings
looks-
of War looks like a regimented minis game, but that is where that ends. It is not a regimented minis game. It's a game that's like big blocks, like chunks.
That's what this game is.
You could play Kings of War with single models.
Yeah,
like,
I guess.
You could take action figures and put them on the right size bases, and like, you could play Kings of War. There's nothing that gives it that weight of a lot of troops. That just doesn't exist.
This doesn't quite do that, but it, you could see
the, I mean, individual models die, the bases come apart, and it, yeah, looks like you can do some pretty big sizes in the units.
You can,
one,
I think,
I think 12 stands was the max.
Yeah, I think the 12.
That's a lot of models.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, 48 guys. Yeah.
That's a lot.
I mean, and plus those are skeletons, and the skeletons can regenerate too.
Yeah.
So
there's definitely some room for some big stuff.
Yeah. And also he asks, is Marie Claude in her giant spider costume at the Kaman booth?
That costume is the best costume ever.
I hate costumes like that. I've gone
it's
over
so
that before.
Fucking cool.
I really don't like super sexy look at me cosplay. It drives me crazy.
I mean, it is accurate to the character that
it
being cosplayed, though.
I'm not arguing that. It's very well done. But I just, for me, it's, I think I see cosplay. Okay.
For me, it's a filthy lie because she doesn't have a spider poon. Like, that's my thing. It's, yeah, just like, this is just false hope.
Well, I mean, I think cosplay has to come out of a deep desire and love of whatever you're cosplaying as. I mean, like, she's doing that. I mean, she might like the character too, but I know she's doing that as like this is a challenge. This is going to get me noticed. Like,
I mean, I don't think she needs to do that. She's professional.
I think that's the professional thing.
To do it.
Yeah. Which kind of bothers me a little bit. I don't know. Well, whatever.
So you're saying you don't like professional cosplayers.
I do not like professional
cosplayers. You like the amateurs.
I do. I don't like the professional circuit. I like the... You have to be amateur to...
The thing for me, it's kind of like it's a different area because like, they're not there to be a cosplayer. They're there to work for the company.
Yeah.
So there's a different... Like, I think if... So for her to have that costume and promote... I think it was for Super Dungeon Explorer. Or
no, it was for something else.
It was Monster Musume. I don't know. She was promoting something very specific because the Harpy Girl was there, and I know that that's from My Everyday Life with Monster. Like, they were doing that cosplay, but it was for an associated game. So, like, I'm cool with that. Like, that's cool. But I think if they were to enter a cosplay costume contest, that would be like something that would irk me. But for like them being employed, like, we are here doing this cosplay because this is our job. It's just it's the natural extension of the booth babe.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
And like, I think that's okay. I also think if you're a professional cosplayer, I don't know if they do it a lot, but I don't obviously don't follow the scene. But I think if you're a professional cosplayer and you enter into cosplay contests, like at a general con like that, you're a scumbag. Like, if you are already paid to do cosplay professionally, why are you entering an amateur's contest? Leave him alone. Let him fucking try to win.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking garbage.
Timothy Franklin asked me, most confusing boner of the con. I would say it's all of the Kingdom Death booth.
I'm pissed that you didn't track down Poots and ask him for my goddamn angel with hand wings.
I know.
Made of hands. No, hands made of wings. Wait, no.
I wanted a
wings made of hands. That's the
wings
one.
Wings made of penises.
No, it's just two. It's wings, but instead of feathers, they're just hands.
Yes. He also asks, of the English people you've seen, how many have been A, confusingly embarrassed by things that shouldn't be embarrassing?
Charmingly befuddled.
So drunk that they've been about to shit themselves, speaking in a thick river of slang and jokes that confuse a lot of Americans around them. I worked with Games Workshop for several years, so English people don't really...
I've never encountered an English person at Gen Con. Ever.
Yeah, I guess I know.
Not once. I've encountered them at Games Days and at Games Workshop events at Adepticon.
Well, because, yeah.
But I've never, ever encountered them at Gen Con, which I assume is because British people only play Games Workshop games. They only use the finest Citadel products.
Well, no, because I hang out with Paul Stewart, who is a old school GW guy who's English. He's very pro Brexit, and and he of course plays.
Is it because he's excited about the fact that the pound is crashing into the ground?
He does play bolt action. Oh my god! Wait, when this is over, I got to complain about bolt action for a little bit.
I'm all ears.
Yes. I don't think most English people I know handle their liquor fairly well. I mean, they get sloppy drunk, but I mean, like, everyone gets sloppy drunk if you drink enough. I mean, like, when I go out to drink with, you know, if I do go out and drink with English people, like, most of them can handle it. I think the only people that have been impressed with, like, that I've, no, the only people that I've not been impressed with their drinking abilities, Australians. Australian drinking is highly overrated. They can't. I don't think they can handle their liquor.
I don't think I've ever drank with an Australian. The only foreign person I've ever actually specifically had drinks with was Jess Goodwin.
Yes.
That was the only one I've ever specifically drank with.
No, I went out and...
Ed doesn't really count.
No, Ed. He's a monster. I'm a Cornwall.
Ed's awesome.
Yes. He's got his own minis game, too. I showed you it.
Yeah, very cool.
The 15 minutes. Yeah, the 15
yeah. We were at Max's. I saw the whole thing. It was sweet.
So I was I was at a party in the University of Milwaukee, and I was hanging out.
Was it on fire?
No, no, we're not going there. And I was at a party. I was at a frat party, and there was a bunch of Australians there, and so we were just kind of hanging out with these bunch of Australian guys. And I'm sitting there, I'm just drinking, and they're like, "How many have you had?" And I'm like, "I don't know. There's like three or four right now." And he's like, "I've never seen people drink that fast."
Maybe they were thrown off because their, you know, their stomachs go the wrong way.
It could be it. The Coriolis effect was screwing them up.
That could be it. And just, you know, they're like not used to it. And then, you know, the Vegemite.
Well, I think like when you meet most people, most English people in America, they're so isolated because they're the one English guy in America. So they're usually pretty cool. They don't use a lot of slang, and, you know, they try and speak so you could understand them. It's not anything crazy. Yeah they're all very polite.
Fair enough.
But in that good British way, so that they can insult you and you don't know that you're being insulted.
Like, I think that guy just called you an idiot. Not sure.
Which new tabletop game looks most Jeffrey Bushy asks, which new tabletop game looks most aerodynamic for anal entry, and any sign from FFG on an update to Twilight Imperium Rex in sight? For FFG on Twilight Imperium, no. Aerodynamic, oh, it's definitely going to be Dropship Commander. Drop Fleet Commander, whatever it's called. That is perfect for anal insertion on that end. Hands down. Oh, you know what else was pretty cool there? Oh, actually, there's a question that's going to be coming up on that. James asks, what's that GKR Heavy Hitters like? Will you be playing a demo game of Gilbolt? No. Can you ask FFG not to fuck up Armada like they have X-Wing with shitty Force Awakens guff? I didn't see any, but I also imagine that's because none of the new Star Wars movies have any capital ships in them yet. Like, you see one Star Destroyer and that's it. So I don't think you'll see that anytime soon.
No, mate. Stone the fucking magpies by Cobba. Fucking oath. Like, they don't talk like that around here.
No.
Hopefully I just really offended someone.
Did you watch the match last night?
Ah, Arsenal. Arsenal's the British team, I think.
Yeah. Always try to walk it in.
I know. I just imagine that they only sound British to our ears, but if like someone else were to hear them, they just sound like orcs.
Oi, you lot, what are you doing here? Oi, 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 oi. Was I walking?
London calling from forward. What's GKR Heavy Hitters?
I don't know GKR Heavy Hitters.
Is that supposedly a thing?
I don't know.
What is that GKR Heavy Hitters? Oh, I know what that is. Never mind. GKR Heavy Hitters is the big robot game that's put out. It was at the same booth as the Weta Workshop guys.
Oh, okay.
It looked pretty cool.
Does it look like Pacific Rim?
No. It's more like. It's kind of hard to describe, but it looked interesting at least. But it's definitely one of those games where it's like Monster Apocalypse.
Okay.
It kind of had that feel to it when I was looking at it. It took me a second to remember that, James.
He's still not officially canceled Monster Apocalypse. A little known fact, Monster Apocalypse has never officially been canceled.
Richard Clark asks, saddest, loneliest looking booth. You know, the one guy in the corner who knows deep down that his Revolutionary Erotic Meeples 4X game was a colossal mistake, and now he has no way to pay back his second mortgage on his house.
I would like to point out that if someone made an erotic Meeples game,
oh, did they?
4X. No, no. If someone made an erotic 4X Meeples game, it would not be a failure.
No, it would probably sell very well.
A titanic success.
Well, I remember back in the day, my parents had one of those, you know, like, how all parents had, like, those silly erotic board games. You ever seen those?
No.
No, you know, I don't... It was one that was called, like, Pigs in a Blanket or something like that. And it was these little pink pigs that you would put in a dice cup and roll. And then they would come out and, like, you'd have to get them into, like, a certain sexual position with rolling them out.
That's awesome.
It's, like, one of those, like, stupid games. And, like, they would sell in the back of Spencer's and shit like that.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember why, but I'm like, you could do that with Meeples, probably. You get, like, some probably. Meeples, you put them inside of a dice cup and roll them out.
There was the triple XCCG Xenophile, which was XXX Xenophile.
Oh, I remember Xenophile.
Illustrated by the Foglios.
The Foglios?
I think that's how you say their name. Kaja and Phil
Foglio.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You played Magic back in the day. You would recognize their art.
Oh, okay.
I'll cue up a piece here. Yeah, you totally would.
But to answer your question, it's like I didn't see anything that I thought was super lonely. There was a lot of the non-gaming booths generally didn't do quite as like didn't have a ton of people. Like there would be I know that.
Yeah,
like
that's
a lot
their
of
art style.
A lot of people who were selling, you know, like steampunk hats and like corsets and stuff like that, those weren't always really full, but there was always like a ton of people in them anyway, you know. And I think one of the things that was kind of like I would see people who were, you know, as like a sad booth, I was probably like All Quiet on the Martian Front. There was a guy there with like that booth and I was just like, oh man, are we still trying
to do this?
I think
they had an embezzling problem with that company too.
No, it wasn't embezzling.
Okay.
If you want to know the true I guess I could give the true details. I mean, I'm not going to give any names, but the guy who ran the Kickstarter overpromised what he could deliver with the money that he had.
Oh, and ended up losing money. Okay.
He lost everything on it.
I see.
That
sucks.
Yeah, it sucks real bad. So that's why you always hear about All Quiet on the Martian Front. Everyone goes, ugh. Anybody who knows, anybody on the inside knows that.
That's rough.
And it's not a bad game. It's a good game. It's just... You know, who wants, not many people want to play pre-World War I's Ironclads versus the aliens. The models are great.
So speaking of which, the still not canceled Monsterpocalypse, the film rights were purchased by Warner Brothers this year. So I guess a Monsterpocalypse movie is happening.
The Warner Brothers and their Warner sister Dot.
So I guess, yeah. Animaniacs is good stuff. It's on Netflix.
Anthony also asked.
You know what killed Animaniacs? Pokemon.
Yeah, because Pokemon's dumb.
No, see, that's the thing. It wasn't exactly because it wasn't specifically the popularity of Pokemon, but I found this out. So you remember Steven Spielberg like getting super into animation with Tiny Toons.
Yeah,
and
all of his
Freakazoid.
Yeah.
All of them are great. They're all great.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, quality programming was around that time in the 90s and why, you know, the 90s was arguably like the best for, you know, cartoons. And the thing that killed... the network cartoon show like Freakazoid and Animaniacs was Pokemon, and not because Pokemon was so popular, but because the price, the money, like the amount of money that the WB Network or 4Kids was able to spend to just dub over Pokemon episodes was fucking nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't have to pay any animation costs. They just dubbed it. So then that was the, if you look, you can see the explosion of Japanese cartoons going on American TV from Pokemon. They just started importing everything because you didn't have to pay any money for any of the animation costs.
Yeah, no, I did know this from my friend Mick, who listens to this podcast, and he's a huge fan of Dragon Ball Z. He kind of explained all this to me, like when I was sitting in his basement in 2002, as I'm stoned out of my mind, and he's explaining this to me. I'm like, No, I just, for some odd reason, I remember this is just that that's the reason like Japanese animation was so cheap to bring over, and that it just kind of gained a cult following from things like Adult Swim. That it kind of just took over the mainstream, and that's why you had all stuff that just killed everything, because the Steven Spielberg style WB animation.
So expensive.
Well, and it was expensive because I guess I don't remember the exact numbers, but like I was talking about this on the Killing Joke podcast. It's like most animation is at like something like 20 frames a second. Let's just say that. Yeah. It's way more than that or something sure. like that. But like they were filming it, the Warner Brothers stuff, at like 40 frames a second, right. which was like double the speed in which why it looks so gorgeous.
The other key too is its profit margins. It's like all of those shows were successful. They all made money. They did not lose money.
No.
Animaniacs was a smash. You know, they all made money. But the difference is they're like, well, we made... I have no idea, but I'm going to make it up. Like, we made $1 million on each episode of Animaniacs. These Pokemon douches are making $5 million just because they're spending $4 million less to make the, you know, to do the episode. So that's really what it was. But now there's kind of a resurgence of animated content coming now. Just, like, it's spread differently.
Well, it's also...
kid shows are gone. There's really just Cartoon Network, which has, like, 5 shows, which I thought was kind of weird. I was thinking about it, and I was like, there's really only 5 shows on Cartoon Network.
Well, they have Teen Titans Go, Clarence. They have
Steven Universe.
They have
Wee Bear Bears. Gumball.
All
the other ones are currently in reruns.
Well, and they have a couple shows that, and they'll bring it back. And also, you got to remember that, like, well, Wayward Pines just got canceled. Well, the guy quit. He didn't get canceled. He was just like, no, we're done.
Mm.
And then you have a couple shows on Disney that are actually really good. A couple shows on Nickelodeon that are really good.
I have it on my Hulu, but apparently the Gravity Falls show is super good.
Didn't I say that? Didn't I say? I said Wayward Pines.
Yeah,
I meant Gravity Falls. That's okay. What I meant. Wayward Pines is a show on Fox.
It's finished. They did the last episode. Like, they actually completed the story.
I watched it with my daughter. Watched the entire series.
Yeah, it's like a Twin Peaks for kids.
Yeah, it's really good. I enjoy it quite a bit, and it's very well done animation. But the thing is that a lot of that animation now is done in, like, Flash and computers.
I think that's why it's coming back, because it's not hand-drawn, hand-painted cells anymore.
And it's also not the Clerks cartoon.
Whatever happened to that show was supposed to come back on some channel.
Kevin Smith has a lot on his plate.
Stupid fucking shitty whatever that sausage Canadian sausage wieners movie.
So
that movie looks like the biggest piece of shit I've ever life.
He actually talked about it on a recent podcast. He was talking about the Clerks cartoon.
Yoga Hosers, that's it.
Yoga Hosers, yeah. He was talking about the cartoon because the guy who is the showrunner on the cartoon is now the showrunner on Veep. And apparently they live really close together and they always, you know, we'll meet up and talk. Mm-hmm. And he says, like, he has one script left in him, and it's that Dante has to buy a new car, and he ends up buying the Kit car from Knight Rider.
Nice.
And that Kit ends up falling in love with Dante, and so it pulls a single white female and disguises itself as Randall and kidnaps Randall, and no one really knows that the car isn't Randall. Everyone thinks the car is Randall.
That's fucking
great.
That's funny. I love the Clerks cartoon. I think that's the best thing Kevin Smith's done.
I'm not gonna lie. All right, so Anthony Carroll says, what's the hot new thing all companies at the show are looking to push their own version of? You wanna know what? It's weird, but it's everyone right now is trying to steal Geek Chic's thunder. That's what it is. It's custom handmade gaming furniture.
Mm.
Hands down.
Which is crazy because the price is so high. I don't know anyone who's like, it's ludicrously high. Like, if you're the kind of person who's got 10 grand to drop on a table, why don't you just fucking pay someone to make your, like, you can pay less money to commission someone to make a table.
Absolutely.
Like, you find yourself a woodworker on Craigslist who's gonna make like any of those ridiculous tables, you can find a guy who's gonna make that shit lickety split half the fucking price.
I'm not gonna argue with my buddy Pat, not your Pat, but a different Pat.
It's Pat.
He's a woodworker, and we share a lot of designs and everything that when we're working on projects. And I was like, look at this price. Look at these prices. And he's just like, that's ridiculous. No one should have income that much to pay on a table like that.
But it's so ludicrously expensive. It's like, why are they that pricey? Like, there's nothing that justifies that price, like, at all.
Well, it's right now, as of now.
I mean, does it come with blowjobs? Because if that's the case, then maybe.
Well, as of now, it's...
And, like, the table somehow gives you a blowjob, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying...
Yeah.
I'm not soliciting prostitution here.
It's, for most people now, it's name recognition, it's name brand. It's a status symbol to have a Geek Chic table. It's
Well, it'd also be a status symbol to shit in Will Wheaton's mouth, but I ain't doing that now, am I?
You'd love to do it.
I totally would.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I don't know. I think that'd be a really personal thing, and I don't think I'd want to get that close to him.
He does have a germophobia or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's a real personal thing that should be shared between two loving people, and I wouldn't want to sully that.
He's Wesley Crusher. You love Wesley Crusher.
I actually don't mind. Oddly enough, I actually don't like. I do like Wesley Crusher.
Exactly.
I think Wesley's fine, but I hate Wil Wheaton. It's difficult for me.
You have a real raging turmoil inside of you.
It's a
vortex of emotions. but a lot of people, and it's not just the tables. It's also stuff like custom.
Just the tips.
Custom built wood. Dice rollers or dice towers.
So you're saying the Fancy Pants gaming accessories is
Fancy
the,
Pants gaming is accessories. Thing. It's really the thing this year, and I got to say it's I'm happy for it, but I'm not going to pay those prices. Especially like I do a lot of woodworking, so I'm like I can make this myself. So even if that, I really want it.
Just it seems like. It seems excessively ostentatious.
It is.
It's just like it's like wow, you can't just have a fucking table. You got to have a fucking table that folds out in a fucking million drawers. It's so weird.
Well, my problem too is like
it's a fucking poker table. Just buy a poker table.
Well, my favorite is like people are like, "Well, you could use it as your dining room table." I go, "No one needs a 3x4 dining room table. It's huge." Or a 6x4 dining room table. Not a 3x4. 6x4 dining room. That's just too big.
Maybe you need to eat your steak while playing.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think people realize how big a 4-foot table is until they have it.
6x4s are fucking big, man.
Yeah.
Like, you need, it's a room. Like, you need a room, a decent sized room, to, like, to be able to get around all the sizes or a full basement.
Yeah.
Like, Max has got a great setup and he's got 3 tables.
Yeah.
2, 3?
He has 3.
And, like, his setup's great, but, like, it's an entire basement and it's 3 wargaming tables. I mean, yes, there's a smaller table, like, a smaller painting table, but still, like, his entire basement. Is 3 wargaming tables.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of space. You know, and it's sweet. They're full sized. Or are they 8x4s or are they 6x4s?
I think they're 8x4s.
Okay, so they're big, but I mean 8x4s that, you know, the casualty sized. I call those the casualty sized wargaming board.
So you can have room for your casualties at
right, the 2 feet to put your dead guys.
Yeah. I mean, like Lyson has a 12x4 in his basement.
That's fucking gigantic.
Yeah. And it's, but he has like his basement is the murder basement. So, true. Sorry, Tim. No one knows.
Your secret is safe.
Yeah.
Don't know that we're serious.
Ken Mayer asks, did you get a look at or demo of the Dark Souls game? I kind of talked about that on the last cast. Got to take a look at it. It's fucking fantastic looking. Couldn't understand any of the rules, but whatever. I'm sure someone could teach it to me if I wanted to really learn. But the minis just look fantastic. I think the box set was going for $350. I was like, God damn.
That's Kingdom Death.
Kingdom Death. Oh shit.
Yeah.
Dark Souls. It's once again. I'm recording and I've only.
They're also like they're close. You know, Kingdom Death is Dark Souls inspired at least a little bit.
Yeah.
Also Berserk. More Berserk, but still.
The Dark Souls one, as I said in the last cast too, was like one little tiny table.
Yeah, I think Dark Souls one's gonna be a hundo.
There was a 4 or 5 people deep. It was like very impossible to see. It looked decent. I'm not gonna lie.
Did you see the Bloodborne card game?
No, I did not see that.
That one's supposed to be big time too.
Yeah. As I said, like I spent
cool minis to like turn into a really good company. Like they're producing like great looking games. I don't know they stopped because they were just like kind of a meat grinder, like just shotgunning out like not bad but not great games.
Up till recently they've just been doing like copycat games.
Sure, but also like that like for a while, cool mini every game they made was like they made Chaos Ball and like Arcadia Quest, whatever. But none of them were bad. Like none of the games they made were like Rum and Bones. None of them are bad. They're not bad games, but they're all like,
meh.
It's a game. Like, okay. But they like lately, like their crop of games at this Gen Con, exceptional. Like the others actually looks
great.
Well,
they
finally bought Zombicide outright from Guillotine Games.
Yeah, they did, which is crazy.
Yes, which is great. Because now hopefully we'll be able to get the stock levels.
Oh, yeah. But they're also doing a Japanese game with a, God, what the fuck is that called? I can't remember. It's like a, it looks really cool, and I think the art. I think it's like Adrian Smith style art.
Oh, I'm not sure. It sounds sweet though.
Yeah, you could look that up. But the Dark Souls demo, it's like as I say, it was 6 people deep around the table. I could barely see it, and it was one tiny table. Also, the dust booth was a little sad.
Still a dust booth?
There was a huge dust booth.
I forgot dust was even a thing.
Yeah, people. Well, you know.
So did everyone else.
Dale Caliban Small asks, did anyone come up and say hi to you or recognize you? A couple people did. What's the best thing? What's
and
been
you're not even going to name drop him on the cast.
I can't remember off the top of my head. What's been the best thing game you've seen tested you didn't expect? What's being put forward from the smaller companies that impresses you? I was actually... Thank you for yawning on the cast. At least you could move to the side.
I whenever I yawn on the cast, I try to get it into the mic.
Yeah. The Rune Wars game really impressed me. I was not expecting that. I was expecting like something really shitty.
Some Garbo Town.
Yeah, I was expecting some garbage thing, and I was like, oh shit, this is actually some pretty decent rules, and it's interesting. It's different enough from Warhammer to make it interesting, and it seems like a solid rule set. So I'm not shitting on that one. I was actually surprised. It wasn't a small company. What's being put forward from the smaller companies that impresses you? There's no real. I would say that like what really impresses me is like. If you're a small company putting out a small, shitty game, like, a lot of these companies have been really went all out on their booths. Like, there was that pirate game that I posted a picture of. I can't remember the name.
Oh, yeah, with the really big ships.
Yeah, but they put, like, this gorgeous booth with these massive, like, a massive bar, like a pirate, like, shanty bar. And other booths were putting out these gorgeous, just displays. And I'm just like, that's impressive. I'm not going to play your game, but you've at least got my attention.
You made me look at it.
Yeah, that pirate game looked pretty good too. Flint
and Lock,
something like that. I'm really sorry, guys. I'm seriously operating on.
Do
like
you have Prisma?
6 hours day. Prisma. What's Prisma?
Prisma is like the thing that's like the currently like dominating like minis and like everywhere on the internet. You take pictures and it filters them into stuff shit like this.
Oh no.
It makes them look like paintings or whatever. It's kind of weird. I don't know. I just want to know if you were also like sucked into it.
No, I don't do shit like that.
It seems to be like I saw some minis and I was like, wow, that's fucking amazing. Like I couldn't believe, I was like, that might be the best looking miniature I've ever seen.
And it was a filter.
Cause it looked like stained glass. And I was like, that's fucking beautiful. And I went and I looked more at it and I was like, oh wait, he's got a bunch of them. Like there's no way. And I was like, it's a goddamn filter. And I was like, it fucking threw my phone. I got mad. That's why I have a new phone.
Scander. Asked,
Fanny. Scander Fanny.
Did you buy expensive and disgusting stuff from the food vendors in the end? I did. I went out and got the food trucks.
Get a Burger King hot dog?
No, oh my God. There was a guy who was doing Korean Mexican fusion in a food truck, and it was unbelievably tasty.
Sounds like a lot of carbohydrates.
Oh, it was. I mean, it was like kimchi on top of nachos, but it was fucking good.
That's ridiculous.
It was so good. Where was the unlikeliest place where you smelled the classic nerd smell? Holy shit, dude. When I walked into the fucking building for the first time on Friday, the smell was overwhelming.
Yeah, you got hit.
I
don't ever remember Gen Con being that stinky because I avoided the auction room. Are you telling me that the funk has spread out?
No, this was the fucking main room. I could not believe it. I was like, Jesus.
Just that mass of humanity, sweaty, pulsating flesh.
Nerd smell of unwashed bodies and Doritos. That's pretty much it. It was Friday at like 11:30 was the busiest I've ever seen that place. Like on Saturday, it wasn't that busy. Friday at 11:30 was unbelievably busy. Like you couldn't move on the floor. Don Haney asked, have you spotted anyone doing a Katana Guy cosplay? Yes, everyone at Gen Con was Katana Guy. Dude, I totally did see like some like.
How dare you disrespect the amazing Katana Blade?
there were some people at the convention who were so atypical nerds that I couldn't help but just be like, oh my God, have you ever looked in a mirror?
Not much for a war game, but it'll do.
Well, I mean, those are the old school guys. Like, you could give them a pass. Like the
Googlies of the world?
Googly. I couldn't think of the name. Googly, it's like, you expect, like, I feel bad for those guys because they've been going to Gen Con probably for 30 years now. And they're like,
there's lots of girls here. This is,
look at this foxtail. Who would sell a foxtail at a gaming convention? Seriously.
How does it even go on? He's told it's just clearly a butt plug. How do you get it in there?
Yeah, exactly. Like those type of people.
You loop this around your belt.
And the thing that you want to know something that really pissed me off in terms of this. This is going a little off. But there was, you know, the Scooty Puff Jr. people are always there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. But I saw one guy in a Scooty Puff Jr. He was wearing all camo. That's and he awesome. Was he was wearing camo shorts.
Did he have was this Cootie Puff Jr. camo?
And,
or was it just made of American flags?
It was a normal Scootie Puff. But he wasn't that big. I mean, he was a big guy. I mean, he was bigger
Are
than...
Are we saying that he's lazy? Lazy in the car?
Let me So he's wearing camo shorts, a camo t-shirt, and a camo ball cap. They're all not matching camo either. It's all different camo.
Great.
And I see him, and he's blocking an entire lane. I mean, he's a big guy, but he's not like one of those guys that like George R. R. Martin slash, you know, micro armor guys.
Sure.
But
Pico armor.
So he's blocking up all the lanes, and he stops, like the entire flow just stops.
Of course.
And then he's like, hold on a second, I want to see this. He gets up out of the Scootie Puff Jr. and walks around to the booth, and he's inside the booth. I'm like ready to just take that thing and just drive off into the sunset on it.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of them have it because they cannot walk for extended periods.
I get it, but I was just like, you son of a fucking bitch.
Well, that speaks more to the I'd say that's actually also a con error. Like, they need to accommodate, because like, and this goes for all nerddom, because there's mega tubbos who love nerdy stuff,
yeah,
which is their prerogative, sure, it's cool, and I understand that you can't walk around all day and they want to be there. That's legitimate. Like, I understand you literally can't walk all day, you are too fat, so you need to get on the Scootie Puff.
I will let you say this.
So the thing you need is you need a more accommodating space for people who are on and you know, people who just have like a regular old disability, like, you know, they don't have a leg or like whatever, or they are paralyzed. Like, they also deserve the ability to go to cons.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is to accommodate them in the fucking aisles. And why are the aisles at every convention? Like, I'm a very portly individual, and I know most people who are into games and into comics are also very portly individuals. Why are the aisles so goddamn thin?
Because they're trying to push in as much stuff as possible.
Right, which they need to plan better. They need bigger aisles. They need the ability for people in wheelchairs to have access and not block traffic. Because you want to stop. And that's when the last time I went to C2E2, it was fucking brutal. Like, I wanted to stop and look at something, and I literally could not because the press of humanity was so great. I'm like, I tried to stop and look just to my right, like, oh, that's cool. And someone fucking, like, multiple people like shoved into me from behind, and it's just like, yeah. Well, fuck, I guess I'm walking still. So yeah. Like that's been a problem with cons for forever.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something that's going to go away anytime soon.
I think they could accommodate it. Just there needs to be better.
No, I was just
better layout.
I was just more mad at this guy just because it's just like fucking. And that's one of the things that drives me crazy is the people who, like, there's a flow going on. Like I believe that every lane and every like aisle needs to have four people. You could be four people, shoulder, 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 shoulder. So the center part is people going in opposite directions, constantly moving. And the sides are for the people who want to get out of the lane.
Ganders.
Yeah, and look at stuff. But the problem is that they're generally only two people deep. And so, like, if a lane's moving and I'm, like, in this lane, I'm like, let's fucking go. Let's fucking this guy and his little Scootie Puff Jr. I'm just like, God damn it, you son of a bitch. Just keep moving. Andrew McCole asks, considering the turnout cost to attend, yes, I know you didn't pay. Oh, shitty housing system and companies in attendance, is it still worth going to Gen Con? If you're in the Midwest, it's worth going to Gen Con. And you want to spend money. If you don't want to spend money, don't go to Gen Con. If you don't want to spend money, don't go to any convention.
Yeah, for me, I would actually say, like, I don't think Gen Con is worth it particularly, because everything you want to know out of Gen Con, you can find out immediately. If you want to go to buy things in advance, like if that's your thing, you want to get it before the other boys in the neighborhood, then yes, you can go to Gen Con because you can buy advanced games if you are willing to stand in
well,
line.
Well, let's also... Okay, so things to buy at Gen Con that are not necessarily in the store. One, out-of-print stuff. A lot of people sell out-of-print stuff at Gen Con.
Right, exclusives.
Exclusives, out-of-print minis, you know, magic cards.
Well, you can buy magic cards anywhere.
I know, but I'm...
Like, the best resource for magic cards is TCG Player or the internet at any given moment. You can get the best prices, and all the cards are available.
But I mean, like, and there's people who buy your stuff, so if you want to take your stuff to sell it there... there's also the auction where you get a lot of out of print stuff for super cheap.
Yeah.
I'm talking like the Gen Con auction is super cheap for stuff.
Yeah. It's a buyer's market.
And they have a store that you could go that if something doesn't sell, you could go there and buy it for like whatever the minimum bid is that they put on there for the store. That's stuff to buy. And you go there to play games. You have all sorts of games. I mean, if you want to do Pathfinder, if you want to play, get demos of RPGs, stuff that's new, it's a great place to go for that. Painting competition, the speed painting is fantastic. They have a pretty deep, they have the Reaper painting competition is, if you want to try and, if you want to get an award, it's a good place to go because the competition is not really tough. But they also have the P3 painting competition there, which is insanely good, but it's, you have to paint Wyrmwood hordes and not a lot of people want to do that. But the people always win. It's gorgeous looking models on there. They do great like demos on paint. They do great painting demos. They do great terrain demos there. There's a lot of stuff that you could buy there, including like original D&D art.
I think for me, it's an objective based trip. Like if you have specific things you want to do that are at Gen Con, you should do them. But otherwise, like it's just a concentration of stuff. There's nothing that makes it particularly special.
And like,
unless you're going for that, like, painting competition, like if you have a specific set of goals, I think you like, well, let's go to Gen Con and like wander around. I think it's terrible for that, in my opinion.
Oh, I didn't go with any sort of agenda, and I had a great
time.
You
went with a reporting agenda.
I didn't really go with a reporting.
You went with a reporting agenda. You talked to manufacturers. You did the thing. You were bad at it, but you did the thing.
I mainly just wanted to shoot the shit with people. They had such fantastic stuff to see. I loved all of it. So the
For me, like I don't. It's
yeah.
Just like,
well, you also don't want to spend money.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's that. I'm not interested in spending money. And also, all of the things coming out are like, I'll wait. Like if I want it, I'll just buy it myself.
Yeah. I mean, I go there and demo stuff, talk with people. I just like talking to people. I'm a people person, Steve.
Maybe if I could get a free ride from my company, I would go.
Yeah. Well, you can get a free ride from Game Classy.
No. Like, I mean, a free ride, like paid accommodations actual free ride.
Andrew McCall asks, also, were you able to wrangle any news on upcoming releases out of the Arena Rex peeps? I didn't really ask too much about upcoming. I mean, like all the
stuff.
They
got that new Indian dude with the horse. He looks fucking sick.
Yeah, they got two new guys for the kind of Viking / Native American force.
Fucking sick.
Mike Cavanaugh asked, how shoddy is GW's presence? They had a wee booth.
They had a little booth. Yes. Pushing the Sigmar.
Jasper Magnus asked, biggest surprise? I already said it's the Rune Wars minigame. That was friggin' out of nowhere.
For sure.
And Annie Meechan asks, how does Gen Con stick up against the recent DNC and RNC? Because the show we're a little dated because it's been a couple weeks. But Gen Con was huge. It was the biggest gaming convention out there. No gaming convention takes its place. They hire only the best games to be at the convention.
Speaking of DNC, RNC, and politics, touch on that a little bit. How badly has Donald Trump's campaign imploded? Holy fuck. I have never, like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Like, he was leading. He was leading Clinton.
Oh, that was only for like,
doesn't matter,
for 6 hours.
Doesn't matter, because that was how Brexit started. Brexit was Brexit became a, oh, it started getting to the middle, and then it was like, well, it's 50-50. Brexit's winning, other side's winning. Now it's the I was looking at the 538 has like the percentage chance at like 95% to 5%.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
So the big thing is, and I think
total misplay, he revealed his hand too early, and fucking Clinton apparently had the force of will to counter it.
Yeah. I think I remember reading,
she probably cheated to get in her hand, but still she had force of will.
I mean, the rumor is that Trump basically got the presidential raise is a negotiation bid for The Apprentice. He wanted more money. NBC said no, so he said, I'm going to go run for president. And he figured
But he wanted to run for president years ago. This is the second time he's run for president. He ran before.
But I mean, this is the thing, is he wanted to do it. And all of a sudden, because the Republicans were such a shit show this year, he ends up winning. And then
King shit of Crap Mountain.
Yeah. And so he says all the stuff to win. And then NBC calls his bluff on it and says, well, we're going to cancel your show. And so now he's kind of stuck doing it, and he doesn't want to do it. So he's just kind of going through the motions, waiting for the election cycle. Well, who knows? He could win.
Well, he might drop out. That's still a possibility. There's the rumor mill circling that he might drop out, and they might just put Kasich in his place. And I actually think Kasich would have a chance.
It's too late, though.
It's probably too late. I mean, the Clinton has a million bajillion fucking dollars at this point.
Million bajillion fucking dollars.
Yep.
All right, so we got a little bit of time left. I wanted to bet
also you. Possibly Parkinson's.
Well, that's what they keep. That's one of the Republican things. It's like they did that on a Doctor Who. I know you don't watch Doctor Who, but one of the ways that Doctor Who like beats this politician is he tells a reporter like, "Doesn't she look tired?" And then it starts this whole rumor cycle that's
awesome,
that she's like sick and can't handle the presidency or whatever, or the prime minister position. So one of the things that I bought at Gen Con was I bought this new rule book called Conflict 47 for Bolt Action.
It's their Conflict weird, with a K.
It's their weird war game.
Which I support existing more than Bolt Action itself.
Well, I don't support this book. You know why? Because it's not like a small like supplemental book with just like the new rules. They give you a whole fucking, you have to pay $35 for essentially the original rule book over again with just some slightly new rules in it. They tell you this a month before the version 2 rulebook comes out, because the new book comes out in September.
Is the version 2 of Conflict 47 also coming out? Or is
no.
It just, well, then it doesn't matter. Conflict will remain the same.
Yeah. It's just bullshit, because they should have just put the new rule, waited and put the new rules in Conflict 47.
Well, it was probably already printed.
Who knows? And it's also using the Clockwork Goblin models, which are awful. I mean, they're not bad, but I mean, it's like... Well, what kind of tanks can the Germans get? Well, we're going to give them this tank. Well, why? What's the reason they have this tank? Oh, we have a model for it, so we're going to get the rules for it. I fucking hate that.
So they're weird miniatures now?
Yeah, I hate that when they do that. And we talked about that with Malifaux. The rule book, it's the same rule book as Bolt Action. I say don't buy it because it's fucking stupid. Just make up your own rules. If you want to put in zombies, just make up your own rules for zombies in World War II. All right, so we got a couple minutes left. Steve, anything new in the gaming news since we talk a lot about Gen Con?
Well, I mean, there's the new LCGs. Arkham Horror LCG was announced.
That's true.
That's going to be big time. From reading about it, it sounds like it's going to be like the Lord of the Rings LCG. Bah, so it'll be single player available, players versus the game, which makes more sense than Call of Cthulhu, because Call of Cthulhu is versus, you know, like player versus player. And I actually think going forward, I believe that's a stronger model for the LCG. Just me personally, I think having solo play game is really something that I've been thinking about. Like whenever I'm thinking game design or doing anything, I think the ability to play the game by yourself is super important. Not just for recluses like myself, but the ability to learn the game on your own. You know, for people who learn the game better by playing it rather than reading about it. Super important. And also being able to have fun and come up with strategies by yourself is great, because people do that all the time already with Magic and stuff. You goldfish, it's called goldfishing. You play against the goldfish in the bowl, and or the goldfish in the tank. Don't ever put your goldfish in a bowl. You play against the goldfish and see how fast you can win with your deck. You know, give yourself an like, look at your hands, make sure the deck operates, but it doesn't give you the feel of actually playing. Whereas the Lord of the Rings LCG, and it sounds like soon to be the Arkham Horror, you actually can play a full, complete game. And Legendary is like that as well. You can play Legendary by yourself.
And the Lord of the Rings LCG, is it co-op play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not 1v1.
It's co-op. You can play up to 4 people.
Yeah. Because I think that would be cooler with Arkham Horror. Is playing co-op as opposed to versus
thing.
Yeah,
it's co-op. I was thinking about I was talking about the 40k one, and I was like, if the 40k one was like that, I'd probably have it. I would probably be playing it to give it a shot. But
you should be playing it, otherwise you're just a heretic.
Well, yeah, it's true. But the 40k one's 1v1. Like, I would need to be playing against someone, and it's kind of like, at that point, it's like, well, I gotta find people who are playing it. I don't know anyone who's playing it, and it'll be boring to play against one person There's a lot of disadvantages to doing the 1v1 model. You know, you need to have a play group. There's all the things I just mentioned are all pretty big negatives for games that are, you know, not self-contained.
Well, I think co-op play is becoming more and more popular, especially with the rise of like a lot of Euro games, because there's something to be said about having a game where you could have one winner. But then again, there's something fun to be where everyone works together to have a goal.
Well, the thing that's sweet about that is it doesn't like co-op doesn't even necessarily exclude the possibility to do versus.
Yeah.
Like in Lord of the Rings, you can do competitive.
Yeah.
Where you both are playing the scenario, you're both trying to win the scenario, but what you do is you're scoring points, because Lord of the Rings has a score. So when you're done, after the scenario is completed, you count up your score, and whoever has the higher score wins. So you still play together, but you're also competitively playing.
Well, I mean, it's like, look at Rex. We played Rex, and Rex is essentially a co-op game.
Yeah, I mean, everything's built in combos. Like, you're kind of foolish to not do an alliance.
Yeah, but I mean, and that's the thing is, like, it's still competitive, but it's also co-op. So yeah. It's like, it's interesting when you can do that. I was, I actually had the buddy Chris, who's into the Fantasy Flight stuff, the Star Wars stuff. He texted me, he goes, "What do you think about Arkham Horror? I just saw that game was announced. What do you think of that?" And I was like, "The board game?" And it was the card game. He goes, "No, the board game." I'm like, "Oh, that's way too complicated for you. you don't want to do that.
You should do Eldritch Horror.
Eldritch Horror
is the easy version of Arkham.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember talking about that. So what else? What else we got? Anything?
I think it's Eldritch Horror. Yeah, because Elder Sign's the dice game. That's another good one, too, but that's a dice game. As far as that, I mean, there's a bunch of great releases from Gen Cons are hitting store shelves now. Captain Sonar, Scythe, Cry Havoc.
Scythe was there. I saw Scythe. That looked pretty cool.
Potion Explosion. Ton of great-looking titles. Just, like, Gen Con diarrheaed out the fucking good games this year.
This was the best Gen Con I've been to, and I've been to, like... Aside from last year, I've been to Gen Con, like, every year since, like, 08, probably. And this was the best year I think I've ever gone. Like, just in terms of content of what they had. I mean, like, I had fun regardless, but, I mean, Jesus, some of the sheer amount of stuff that was coming out of Gen Con this year.
Yeah, I mean, the quality of games is just so high now. You've got Asmodee just... pushing the boundaries. Fantasy Flight, you know, like, they're Asmodee acquiring everything. I think at this point, like, Aiello is probably looking to get bought by them. You know, I think the new position is now, like, to set your company up to be purchased by Asmodee.
Well, there you go. Or Hasbro.
Well, I don't know. Hasbro's not a player in the board game industry anymore. Like, they're really... I mean, they are, but they're, like...
Wouldn't it be hysterical if, like, next year Hasbro, like, fucking has a booth at Gen Con where it's, like... come play, you know, the game of life.
Yeah, I mean, they have, like, you know, they have the Walmart games, and then they've got the couple games that Wizards makes them, like Betrayal at House on the Hill, which is a fantastic game, but and then, like, Risk Legacy. But other than that, like, their board game presence is nothing. They're completely focused on toys and on Magic. Like, they are not.
Yeah,
and D&D, of course.
And they have all their standbys. It's just the standbys. It's
they're not looking to get into this, like, and I understand it, because, I mean, they're, you know, it's, I think that's a, it's, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They've got their solid titles, and just doubling down on their quality titles is a smart play.
Well, they're just waiting. They are waiting until all of the baby boomers die off so that, like, so people, like, you know, Gen Xers and millennials are like, why the fuck would I want to play Clue? Who the fuck wants to play Monopoly?
Go, let's play Clue Legacy.
Clue Legacy? Yeah. It's like...
Seafall, speaking of legacy games, Seafall was really huge. That'll be a solid one. It sold out in 15 minutes at Gen Con. It sold out. Wow. But here's the weird thing about Gen Con is, like, you know, you never know which of these games are selling out just because of the hype, or which of the games are actually good. Perfect example being the Privateer Press deck building game. Do you remember when that game came out?
Oh, the High Command or whatever.
Yep,
it was
High
called.
Command, and the Privateer Press RPG. Yeah. Both of those games,
Iron Kingdoms.
Yeah, the Iron Kingdoms RPG. Both of those games fucking annihilated at Gen Con. Like, they crushed through them, and High Command's basically canceled. They don't make High Command stuff anymore. Like, the game became a dismal failure very quickly. The Iron Kingdoms RPG is, you know, it's
shit that's designed for people who are really into Warmer Hordes,
which is not what you want those games to be. That's the problem. Like, you should not be designing a complimentary RPG that's like your miniatures game, because if that's the case, you want to just direct people to the miniatures game. You know, that's one of the reasons the 40K and fantasy RPGs from Fantasy Flight were so great, was because they're their own thing.
Yeah, they were nothing. Well,
Wyfrip was its own thing.
They were all right. They were good. They weren't.
Wyfrip was a very good one, but the problems of a percentage system is rough. Just like,
well, and all the fucking dice and all that shit.
Oh, no, no, that's the third edition.
That's what I was talking about.
But that, no, I'm talking about the first one made by Fantasy Flight was just percentage based.
Yeah, that one was great. Right. I actually just
that's came, the one I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the proprietary dice version.
Yeah. I just came across a bunch of the books at Half Price Books, and of course, it was someone was selling them like out of print, $45. I'm like, they're not worth $45.
And so that's and so like those games were fantastic, but those games were also nothing like Warhammer. Like they were not.
No, they weren't. They were their own separate thing, and now Games Workshop will never do it again because...
Well, to be fair, they didn't really do anything other than license their product.
Yeah. God, some of that RPG stuff was great. I loved the... I don't know if it was third edition was the one with the really nice glossy... The one they really put a lot of effort into. I think it was around like 04, 05, that series. It was before all the proprietary dice ones.
Yeah, that was second. The third, the dice one is third.
Yeah, so second edition. I remember those books were fantastic.
Yeah, that was definitely the second edition was the one that was the Redux, the first one Fantasy Flight. Third edition was the one that came with the special dice and like was in those like box sets.
Yeah, those
that one that game's supposed to be really good.
Yeah, I've heard it's supposed to be great. It's just
Fantasy Flight moved all their games to the proprietary dice program. You know, that's all of them are like all the Age of Rebellion, Force and Destiny, all the Star Wars ones are on that. They all use the special dice.
Yeah, I will
because because they don't do PDFs.
Yeah.
I believe. And I really think that those dice are just like an easy way to guarantee a sale. Even if someone pirates their game, they're still going to need to buy those dice.
It's true. It's very true. I just hate, like, I always have a fear of losing dice. So it's like.
Well, luckily they offer the dice packs at a very cheap price point.
They do. All right. So that's about it for this episode. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
Like our Facebook page, / Game Classy Podcast. The best way you can help out the podcast, like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You can also listen to our sister podcasts, Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, a.k.a. Play On, where Steve and Pat talk about No Man's Sky. And also Comic Book Logic, where me and Kevin talk about comic book movies. We're taking a break this weekend just because I need sleep. And nothing new quite come out. So we will, we're going to pick it up. I think we're talking Scott Pilgrim. For the next one. Yeah, you don't like it?
I hated that movie. I remember liking it. It's like, you want that movie says, hey, that's kind of like a video game. Hey, look, that's also like a video game. Oh, that thing? It's kind of like a video game. Yay!
Would you like Suicide Squad?
It's Christopher Lambert.
Did you like Suicide Squad?
I did. I actually enjoyed Suicide Squad.
If you give it an A through an F grade, what would you give it?
B plus.
I'd give it a B minus.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think
scolded me. He's like, you like this movie more than you like Batman versus Superman. I'm like,
I also did.
Yes. Yes, I did.
I think Batman versus Superman is a C+.
That's exactly right. I gave it. This is what I said for Suicide Squad. I said, you know, this movie's a mess of a movie. It's an awful piece of cinema, but I liked it.
Totally works. It totally works for what it is. My actual real gripe with that movie is that the villains were not villainous enough.
Yeah.
They were like it. What they did in the movie could have easily been replaced by a hero team because they went in, didn't do anything particularly bad, and saved the day.
I
appreciate that, like, you know, they're pressed into service to save the day, but they're supposed to be, you know, dickheads about it. And they weren't. They turned them all into anti-heroes.
Well, Big Willy can't be a villain.
But Deadshot being I would say Deadshot would be excluded from that rule because I think Deadshot is morally gray. I don't think Deadshot is actually a bad guy. He just, depending on your criteria, but he kills criminals for money. Like, he gets paid by criminals to kill other criminals for money. So he's doing what the Punisher does, but getting paid for it.
Well, he kills people for money. Let's not say he kills usually more than just
sure,
criminals.
But you know, but what
in
I mean.
The movie,
he's not like I'm going to conquer the world and kill everyone or poison the water supply. You know, he's not a mustache twirling villain.
Yeah,
and you know, so he would be the one. He would be the one. I actually think that would have been a kind of a cool dynamic where like everyone else is trying to do their super villain shit and Deadshot is trying to keep him on point. Like, no, you idiots. Like, we need to do this. Overall, it was fun. I loved Captain Boomerang. Captain Boomerang was so goddamn useless. I was like, this is fucking perfect. This is exactly what Captain Boomerang should be.
I mean, if you want to listen to an interesting podcast, Kevin and I very much disagreed on that one because
that's fair.
He hated it.
Yeah. I think the way the movie's formatted is very like video gamey. It's like you introduce the characters and then they do the mission. It very much feels like kind of like a video game setup. which I enjoyed. But I think it was great. I'm looking forward to seeing more. I think the DC movies are getting better as they hit their stride, and I understand where I finally think I figured it out where the problem with their movies is. They're trying, so they don't want to copy Marvel. They don't want to go with the, like, we're making this character movie, we're making this character movie. Where they don't want to go with that slow grow, because everyone would just be like, oh, there's copper in Marvel. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to just, you know, they're doing it, obviously, but they're just jet setting to Justice League. They just want to get that immediate there. So it's kind of like an awkward, like, birthing situation where it's just like they're trying to get a lot of information in a very small amount of movies in one go.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think if the quality stays at Suicide Squad or improves, I'm cool with that. You know, it's a dumb popcorn action movie, which I enjoy. I love The Expendables. I love Commando. You know, I like movies that are, I would say, not hallmarks of cinema excellence, but are movies that I quite enjoy.
You like movies with a lot of muscle mass.
I really do, especially if it's Arnold.
You like the beefcake.
Arnold's only made one bad movie, and that's Junior.
What about Kindergarten Cop?
Kindergarten Cop's fantastic. Love Kindergarten Cop.
You don't like Junior?
Junior is the only Arnold Schwarzenegger movie I do not like. Yeah. I legitimately do not like that movie.
And you've tried. What about Twins?
I think Twins is funny. I miss Danny DeVito. I like every Schwarzenegger film except for Junior.
All right.
I actually saw Maggie not too long ago.
That's actually a good one.
I was shocked by that film. I was completely, like, taken off guard entirely. If you, I think it's on Hulu, maybe on Amazon, but you should do yourself a favor and watch the Schwarzenegger movie Maggie. I don't want to spoil any part of it for you, but it is not the movie that you think it is, and I would highly recommend it. And Schwarzenegger actually does a really good fucking acting job in it.
All right, so Steve, until next time,
I'll be back.
Game Classy.